Hi guys, last apps, Windows 8 app session of the day, so I know you guys are going to be fading a little bit. You're going to be looking forward to the party tonight and the free alcohol and the dancing and the music. So I want to try something different this afternoon. So no robot arms, no missile launchers, no little glowing balls if you was in my last session. We're going to try and approach this one slightly differently due to a glitch on my end, but this is going to be more of a short talk style session. So what I really want to know from you guys is what you want to know about modern apps, if you're considering deploying modern apps in the workplace, looking at mobility scenarios with Windows 8, have you ever considered deploying Surface RT for BYOD, this kind of stuff. All of the content in this presentation, I have a whole hour worth of slides and I can sit and lecture you, but at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in a warm room just before a party, you're not really going to listen to me. So what I want to hear is from you guys exactly what you want to talk about, and I've got a whole load of people here to answer questions for you. And specifically, like, I'm working on a big Windows 8 rollout project in Australia at the moment. We're deploying 2,500 Surface Pros into our workforce. So I've got a lot of practical experience with this stuff. And looking at moving into Windows 8.1, some of this changes, some of it improves. So I want to touch on some key points and some key points around the hard stuff that I've had to overcome when I've been looking at this large rollout. So my agenda today is we'll look at some of the changes in 8.1 specific to app development. We're going to do some deployment scenarios, looking at BYOD app deployment, looking at domain joined app deployment, looking at some of the security bits and pieces that have appeared in 8.1 and how we can actually lock down our apps and our environments, and integrating it into line of business applications as well. As I said, this is open forum, so raise your hand up straight away. We have one question already. That's a good question. So first question, why did we choose Surface over an iPad? And I'll also add to that, why did we choose Surface over like a Lenovo laptop as well? The biggest issue we had is we've got a massive Active Directory ecosystem, and we've tried to deploy iPads. Well, we bought Citrix as an MDM provider. We stuck the F5 client on an iPad, and we've got a whole load of iOS developers. It became very difficult to manage. When you're talking about 2,500 iPads that are being manually managed via MDM, which we can't tie into group policy, it's fairly difficult to federate some of our existing enterprise credentials back into iPad applications as well. And also some of the security restrictions that we've had grained into Windows over a period of 15 years of having this existing AD infrastructure. We don't know, iPad is a black box for this, and it's a concern for the enterprise I'm working with. So we've gone with Windows because we know Windows, we've got the existing investment in the ecosystem, and the Windows Surface device in particular was a great segue in between the mobility the iPad was offering in particular and the existing domain infrastructure we had. We actually also compared Surface to a Lenovo Helix, and we brought a whole load of Helixes, and we brought a whole load of Surfaces as well. We found the Helix device, although it's a great Ultrabook, and you can take it off, and it's got, it becomes a relatively great tablet. It has the active digitizer stylus. People found them heavy. They were used to using iPads with the tried iPads. They were used to that form factor. And a lot of our guys take iPads with Bluetooth keyboards. They used to dock in an iPad into a Bluetooth keyboard. The Helix didn't offer the same experience. It's as if we were just giving them a laptop. They never undocked it. They never walked around with it. So the Surface Pro actually fit that ecosystem a lot better. We still use USB 2 docks, so we can go back. We can dock them into an external display and that kind of stuff. But a lot of the time, we're just giving people the Surface Pro, a little Wi-Fi access point, and they've got the Type keyboard as well, and they love it. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, so I'll introduce the other guys in the room that are here to ask you questions as well. So if you haven't come to my session, you're forgiven already, but I'm Lewis Bench. I'm an independent consultant. I float around the Asia-Pacific region. I do some work for Microsoft DP in Australia. I do some work with Nokia over Asia-Pac. I work a lot with the integration side. So at the moment, I'm specifically in an enterprise looking at some integration bits on this large rollout. We've also got James, who's on stage. He's our IT pro of the day. So James is actually an SCCM MVP. So most of you guys, if you're developers, are unlikely to have gone to James's session today where he's already talked about deploying modern apps, MDM management, and things like that. But as developers, you need to know this stuff for when you're building your apps, you need to know how to sign them, how to give them across the IT process, and then how it's going to then represent itself onto the devices we're going to manage. So he's actively trying to build some demos for us, so where he'll actually deploy apps onto some BYOD devices and bits and pieces. We also have Robert down the front here. Robert is a Microsoft PFE. I don't know what the P stands for, but I know the last bit is a field engineer. Premier, so top. Robert, he travels around New Zealand. He works with you guys on a day-to-day basis, specifically looking at your apps and remediating issues you have and anything else? And Robert's around as well during the day, so if you have particular questions, he wears nice Larry purple t-shirts, and you can come and find him, and he'll sit down and actually engage with you. Lastly, we have Ryan down the front here. If you don't know Ryan, he's an Azure guru, so he's here to also talk about some of the integration pieces. So before I start lecturing you guys, is there anything anyone wants to talk about in particular? Have you got questions, concerns? Raise your hand. If you don't want to raise your hand, if you're too tired, if you don't want to speak out, pass pieces of paper forward down to Robert and he will answer the question for you. I can't see any hands up. No? Okay, I'm going to start on some... one here. Sorry? Looks a bit fuzzy.
Just tired.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to run through some slides. So I'll talk about the 8.1 changes first. And if there's any questions about that, we'll open the floor to questions, and then we'll move on to some of the stuff that James is going to show us. So this is a good segue of what I was talking about in terms of the hybrid infrastructure we're now seeing with Windows. So Windows 8, although a lot of people don't like it, it's the best operating system to start introducing your enterprise into mobility. It offers you the riggedness of, I don't even know if that's a word, but the stability of the existing Microsoft infrastructure and the investment that guys like James as IT pros have worked with for the last couple of years and leveraging that knowledge and the development APIs and the C# and the richness that you guys as developers, and it unifies that and brings out a great mobility solution. It's heavily marketed to consumers, so actively people are buying their own Windows 8 devices. So it also means that we've got this great capability of BYOD devices, like all you guys buying Surface RT devices. If you're looking at BYOD in your existing enterprise, it means that we can leverage existing Microsoft technologies to bring BYOD in and target app development for that. We can also leverage the existing enterprise infrastructure we already have as well. So Windows 8 was built for business. I've gone into heated arguments around this with people around Windows 8 is just a touch system, it's consumer orientated, it's aimed like kinds of Xbox and things like that. But at the end of the day, Microsoft makes all its money from building products for business. Consumer is a very small part of their industry, of their revenue. So when we look at Windows 8, it was built from the ground up to allow a natural upgrade path from Windows 7 to engage in mobility. And Windows 8.1 allows for that. So some of the key things, like we can run, we're just talking about this, we can run Windows 8 from USB sticks. So you can give all your employees USB sticks and actually boot that up for a very mobile work and infrastructure. We can build Windows 8 tablets. We can build Windows 8 kiosks. We can manage them from the cloud. We can manage them for our existing infrastructure. We can secure everything using all of the hardware we've had access to for the last couple of years. So biometrics, so smart card infrastructure, the password to use on a daily basis to log onto your machine. So there's a whole load of bits and pieces in Windows 8 in its current form that allows us to do that. I just want to jump ahead to the improvements 8.1 bring us, because this is the more interesting stuff. You guys most of you have used Windows 8 for a while now, but 8.1 has significantly enhanced the business experience. When we're going through our deployment at the moment and I give two people a Windows 8 machine versus a Windows 8.1 machine, people are they're a lot happier with 8.1 than they are with 8 just because of some of these smaller enhancements. So the start screen improvements, the ability to seamlessly move from a desktop to a start screen by making the start screen more of a transparent overlay. So it's more of a natural engagement between the two, and it means there's a lower learning curve for people to do it. They just see it as these widgets appear with my contextual search, and then they disappear again. as a, an IT pro, you can make the desktop boot, make the your PC's boot to desktop. You don't even need to see the start menu unless you hit the start key. Some people love it, some people hate it. I've always positioned the start menu in enterprise as your new SharePoint dashboard. Like, these live tiles should be engaging you in terms of line of business information, your current news feeds, your KPIs coming from all your different systems and things like that. It's a great platform, and I'm sure execs love it. Like, you give them, like, they love these charts and figures and things like that. So you give them a start menu that's continually rotating around this information, it's perfect for them. But sometimes, like, people just want the desktop, so you can now give them the desktop. 8.1 also introduces multi-windowed, multi-monitor support for modern apps. So you can actually write a modern app that essentially goes into presenter mode or is spanned across two screens. So it's great if you're looking at presentation scenarios or scenarios where maybe you want me to have a screen and then maybe a customer to have a screen, and we can actually present two different UIs. And we can also now have the two different modern apps, or up to four different modern apps running on one screen as well. So it improves productivity that way. We've got this aggregated search experience that you've most obviously seen quite a lot now. The Bing drives right down into Bing, and that can be expanded with other services as well. We've got a whole load of other bits and pieces, like high DPI support, new bits and pieces in the touchpads. Yeah, loads and loads of stuff that is enhancing Windows 8.1 in the enterprise. I've also got a load of other bits in terms of security and integration that I've left out of these initial slides that I want to talk about due to this separation. So we've got phase one done. Any questions on phase one, Windows 8, how it improves our working? No, people are asleep already. This is great. Okay, James, we're going to move on to deployment. So for me as a developer, I'll explain what I think deployment is, and then I'll hand across to you, and you as an IT pro can actually tell me that I'm wrong and this is how it actually works. So at the moment, most of you guys would just be familiar with the piece on the right-hand side of the screen, which says download from Windows Store. Because it, as developers, as consumers of Windows 8, the only way you'll be able to get apps on your device, apart from if you're building them yourself, is to go into the store, hit download, and start deploying them. And that works consistently on Windows RT and Windows 8, as we know. And we're talking about modern apps here, not desktop apps. As a line of business user, especially in the enterprise I work for, we're not going to open the store up. We're not going to deploy Windows 8 into our workforce and allow people to download Xbox Music and Angry Birds and everything onto their desktop. We want to secure it down. So store's going to go for us, and we're actually going to join our devices to the domain, and our line of business apps are actually going to be pushed down directly from Active Directory, and James will show you that in a sec. If we're in a BYOD scenario, we can start now in 8.1 to use MDMs. Or we can use Microsoft SCCM at Intune, is that correct? Yep, I'm learning these products, to deploy apps on a Windows RT device. We can't domain join a Windows RT machine, that doesn't allow it, but what we can do is we can use the newer APIs that are available in Windows 8.1 to connect our Windows RT device back to our infrastructure via specific services, and then download apps that way. So that's the bit I've just covered. I'm just going to quickly skip through these slides because the demos are a lot more interesting. So with Windows Store apps, we go through the certification, we go through WAC, Microsoft give us a tick, we know it's legit, it's not malware, and it will go through the certified curated store. If we develop an enterprise-side loaded app, so be it BYOD or deployment via SCCM using Active Directory, us as developers are responsible for our code and no one's going to manage it. We can hand anything we like in that FX folder over to the IT guys and they're not going to assess it, they're not going to scan it. The virus scanners aren't really going to do anything, so we've got to make sure we're not going to start crashing machines. The best way of doing this is running WAC on your device, running WAC on your applications before you give them to the IT guys. And also making sure that they're aware of everything that the app does, how it's meant to respond, how it's meant to interact with the apps as well. Because SCCM will still do some of the same automated processes that happen when you go into the store. So if you have capabilities and declarations and things like that, and they're trying to be pushed out to devices that maybe don't have access to biometric scanners and you've declared that, or you're looking for particular devices, it's going to start causing issues in the infrastructure that the IT guys are going to use, and they're going to come knocking back at your door. That this stuff is now going to mean that you're going to closely collaborate with your IT guys a lot further, because the autonomous deployment you would normally get from the store is actually disappearing. So we can still deploy apps in the Windows Store if we want to. So Citrix is a good example. F5 in the iOS Store is another example. We can actually go down and deploy apps through through the Windows Store. You hit the Install button, it appears, and then you actually need to put a whole load of settings in to then start connecting it back to your corporate infrastructure. Okay. I'm not going to talk through these slides apart from this one here, because James has actually built me an awesome demo which actually covers a lot more of this stuff. So the piece that we need to understand with the side loading is when we want to side load an app, we actually have to use Windows 8 Enterprise for a domain joined app, or professional with a side loading key.
Professional is domain joined, you can side load. Pretty sure that's right. If it's not domain joined, you need a key.
Okay, so this is a key point that we kind of mucked up on when we was actually deploying this stuff in the infrastructure, because we didn't understand how the licensing worked. And so with BYOD, there's actually a cost associated with it. So you'll actually, your enterprise will start having to buy these side loading keys to be able to start deploying apps onto personal devices. So it's a cost associated with BYOD that it's not necessarily there with Windows 8 Enterprise machines, because the enterprise has already purchased the license. I'm going to just skip straight into, because I talked about the WAC, I'm going to skip straight across to James. He'll actually put this into more of a context and open it up for discussion a little bit more.
All right, cheers, Lewis. This is my first time in front of a bunch of developers, so this is particularly daunting. Better get this right. You're friendly? Oh, that's good. All right. So what I've got up on screen is the console for System Center Configuration Manager 2012 Service Pack 1. When SP1 came out, we had the ability to do a few things. It brought in support for Windows 8, which means it brought in support to be able to deploy modern UI applications. It also gave you the ability to interface with Windows Intune and then do MDM via Intune, but managing everything from the SCCM console. So what Lewis and I set up a little earlier on was this Windows 8 application, which is one that Lewis wrote. There we go. And what I've done, I took the Apex file and all of the security certs and all of the Visual Studio content, and I just created what we call in SCCM world a deployment type, which is literally a method by which SCCM is going to push that stuff out. So there's my Apex. It also uses what's called a detection method. So the SCCM agent can then look at the installation which it's just run and verify that it has actually installed properly. I've got some requirements on that. It can only go to Windows 8. Now, I have an server 2012 because in an RDS environment, we can enable the desktop experience and deploy these same applications to a server 2012 framework. So what I will do, I've also got a deployment. So I've deployed this to my all users collection. And at the moment, I'm logged on to a domain joined enterprise version of Windows 8. So based on that, I don't need a sideloading key. SCCM knows who I am, understands my licensing. Everything is good. What I'm accessing here is the CM application catalog, which is a web-based front-end to SCCM, where a user can see all of the applications which have been made available to them, and they can choose which ones they want. You can see
so
I've got
this
some
is essentially the store, but for enterprise.
Enterprise store,
yeah.
Effectively, yep. And there's the application which Lewis has made available, and I'm going to say, yep, it's a critical part of my workday that I require this poker application. Maybe I work in sales. That was harsh, I know. All right. And then what that is going to do, I'm going to get a little notification. And that front end is then going to send a wake up to my local management agent. It says, hey, there's some software that you need to install right now. Drop it down. So I've got installation status, and then bang, it's already there and it's installed. Now, this is not a traditional MSI type installation. If I kick off into the start menu, there's my poker app. Screen resolution is too low. Yeah, okay, fair enough. it does actually load. It's good. So that is, now I would access that same modern UI application the same way I would access my standard traditional enterprise type apps, whether I've done those on MSI or AppV or ZenApp or WebLinks. So from end user experience, it's just exactly the same. What application would you like? And SCCM handles it from there. Now what we'll do is, let's say I've left my enterprise machine behind, and now I'm out on the road with my Surface RT, which I have down here. Now what I have actually already gone through and I've enrolled this Surface against Windows Intune. I've used my environment hooks into ADFS so that when I authenticate against Windows Intune, it actually bounces back through ADFS and ADFS proxy so that I'm always authing against my on-premise AD instead of against Intune. The advantage of that is then your users don't need to maintain two sets of usernames and passwords, which they otherwise would. Users tend to hate that. So did the help desk. So what I end up with is this, whoa, not that one. What I end up with is this application here, Company Portal. That Company Portal app is the same on iPad, Android, Windows 8, Windows RT, Windows Phone. It's exactly the same one every single time. Now, I'm going to, it should have actually timed out on me because I haven't logged into this for a while. There we go. So we can see this at work. It's going to talk out through the internet and sign me into Windows Intune. It does work. I did this earlier. He says as it fails. Hang on a second.
So while James is doing this, the app he's actually deploying is just a Windows 8 app. It was actually my demo app from my phone session last week on a tablet. All I've done to give it to him is I've actually, in this instance, we've got a self-signed certificate that he's manually gone and registered into the cert manager on all the devices. But in an ecosystem like the company I currently work for, you would normally have an internal CA where exactly the same as your current code signing certificates on your desktop apps, you would go into Cert Manager and you would actually request a new Windows 8 cert issued by the internal certification authority. Instead of then signing your app with the temporary key that's generated when you go file a new app, you actually sign the app with the keys that the IT pros have given you. That key is what allows that app to run under the enterprise. So when it goes via SCCM, we know that the app has originated from our internal CA, it's a trusted app, and the app will run. So as a developer, the barrier of deployment is actually fairly low. It's just understanding you need to be signing it with a different key. You still go project, store, create store package, and go through as if you was actually building a store package and uploading it to the Windows Store. The difference is we're going to swap the key out, and then we're going to email someone that FX file instead, who are going to push it through this portal. Like I say, the most critical part of this, though, is you're responsible for checking your own work when it gets deployed. You haven't got this curated app store who are going to do the whack and the automated testing for you. Okay. So if you write something that's going to be malware-like, it's going to go through and it's going to syndicate out to all these machines autonomously via these systems.
Okay. It would actually seem that something's up, and it's actually Intune that's down. So it's not me. It's not me. But what we can actually, what I can show rather quickly is that in order to get that application out into the onto the RT, obviously I can't just push that out. It's not a domain joined machine. So what I have is access to my Windows RT side loading keys. Okay, I've got a certain number of activations. Now I get this through Microsoft Volume Licensing. So either yourself or your customers should have access to this. And because I'm using SCCM, SCCM can actually handle all of this. It will then communicate with Intune. So what the Surface will actually do is it will talk out, it'll talk to Intune, it'll auth against my ADFS environment. It will then access one of these keys via SCCM, although it never talks directly to the on-premise infrastructure, it always talks to Intune. It'll then drop that key down. That is now good for this machine for pretty much the life of it. And the content for that poker application. This is sort of clever. We have a concept within SCCM called distribution points. This is where our managed agents actually get their application content from. And in this case, because I have an integration with Windows Intune, I now have a cloud-based DP at manage.microsoft.com. And if I jump out there, we can see the content that's available, and they've got that poker application there. So when the RT downloads it, it's going to download it directly from Intune. So the main point is that I've done, as an IT pro, I've done all of my management from Configuration Manager, which is where I want to work, but my end user has done everything off-premise.
Okay, great. Thanks, James. So I'm going to flip back to the slides. Deployment questions. Like, this was the biggest bane of my life when we done this Surface rollout. So has anyone got any questions around how to get the apps you're building onto the devices you want them to get on?
On Windows Phone, you can have like a company store.
Company Hub, yep.
That seems like a much nicer way of pushing stuff out that only people in that company can see in that company's store. Whereas this seems like you have to get the IT pros involved and it's been very, very difficult. Why can't you have a company hub in the Windows store and you just go there, you can send them links to it or whatever to tell them this is where the app is? That seems much more simpler to set up.
Yep, so for anyone that didn't hear the question is on Windows Phone we have Company Hub. Why don't we just have Company Hub on Windows 8? Good question. So the simple answer is because it's built by two different engineering teams, and I don't think they ever talk to one another when they actually put the stuff together. What we can do, and I mostly get James to flick back and show this, is we can actually do a PowerShell-based deployment. So we could technically have a similar type of setup. We could have a list of APX files that are on a system somewhere, and we, as developers, we could build that hub and we could pull it down and we could use PowerShell to actually do that side loading. Can you do a PowerShell?
I probably can't do the installation, but I can show you how we can query that.
So the PowerShell is essentially how we'd actually develop a side load apps anyway. We right-click the PowerShell and do it, or Visual Studio does it for us. If we actually tile that back in, you could most probably concoct something together if you wanted to, but it's not the preferred way of doing it because you actually lose a lot of that granularity that you have when you're doing the Intune, the SCCM deployment, because the IT pros can actually say, well, all management can get this app and sales can have this selection of apps, whereas Company Hub doesn't allow that. Company Hub is just literally, this is what we have available to us, it's an RSS feed and you just download it. Company Hub's also dependent on an MDM being present. Windows 8 didn't allow us to use MDMs to deploy apps. 8.1 does, and that's why we're leveraging Intune. Intune is our intermediary, so we're not using a device management system. We're just using Intune, and Intune provides that functionality, the Company Hub-like functionality, via company portal. So it's a similar kind of concept. Does that answer your question?
So as far as a PowerShell perspective goes, essentially every application that is either dropped down via the Windows Store is installed locally via APX, has a name, has a full name, and as Lewis said, we can use PowerShell to directly inject that into a running Windows image, either for a single user or for all users. So we do have a number of options available to us.
James, you might need to flick your mic.
Hello. Just one quick thing to add to that. So if you're one other option with PowerShell is that you can install the APX directly and you can activate your sideloading product key using SLMGR and then IPK and then your 25-digit sideloading product key. So if you do that, in addition to setting the registry setting, allow trusted apps to install, then you can actually do that via PowerShell and directly install your sideloading app, you know, from a share within your enterprise space or however you want to do it like that. So you can build your own company hub that way.
Thanks. Okay, any more deployment questions? Yeah.
Does company portal stop you from
company store doesn't, but you can use something called App Locker. Okay. I know this one because I've had to work around it because it has a whole load of implications to Visual Studio.
Yeah, there's a couple of options. So, no, if you enroll a mobile platform against Intune and you enable the company portal, you can still install applications from the Windows Store. You can actually prevent that actually by GPO. So it's a group policy option or enabled via the registry too. So you can stop it. I don't know what the implications actually are for deep linking, because your other option for deploying apps is that you can deep link Windows Store applications so that they appear in the company portal as well as your Apex applications. If you prevent your users from installing from the Windows Store, I don't know what the implications are for deep linking. I'd need to actually check that. But you can certainly stop them from accessing Windows Store, definitely. I've done implementations for a number of customers, and I think it's mostly because they're sort of not too sure of what the implications for Windows Store really are. So their default approach is just to kill it.
And where this is interesting for developers, and it seems like a major issue with Visual Studio in general, at the GPO and the app locker bits that the IT guys actually lock down with actually lock out Visual Studio, because the way Visual Studio, the XAML editor works, is it technically deploys the app. So you end up in a scenario where you can never use Blend and you can never use a XAML editor if you're connected to a domain that actually prevents you from downloading apps from the store. And the only way of getting around it is by going into AppLocker and setting granular permissions to say, I trust apps signed by Microsoft, but then that opens up the whole Microsoft store again. So we ended up in this vicious circle where we actually had to just say, for once, we trust our developers and they're allowed to have store access because we need to use Visual Studio. Mm. So if you encounter that scenario and you ever find yourself on a domain and you can never load up the XAML editor, it may be because it's Visual Studio and it likes to crash the XAML editor about 50 times a day, or it may be because your IT pros have enabled AppLocker.
It's actually worth mentioning that when we set this up earlier on to do all this sideloading and everything, right up to the point where Intune decided not to work, period, it actually took both of us to get it up and operational. Me from the infrastructural side, but there was a lot of stuff about the nature of the application which I didn't really understand, especially the code signing certs, because I don't tend to encounter that. So it did actually take collaboration between IT pro and dev.
And that's actually a complete mirror of the deployment I'm working on. I'm in regular contact with the senior engineers and the architects, even the network architects, because the more we move into mobility, the more it actually falls back on the developer and the DevOps guys to try and figure a lot of this stuff out, because it's being removed from the IT pro side and they're becoming more responsible for critical infrastructure and the devices are kind of becoming self-managed and falling more back into the developer ecosystem. Did that answer the question, whoever? Did that, yep. Okay, any more deployment questions? Yes.
What about that client that has an individual from Reckless that we're never going to see all around the country? People that if we send something on a USB key, we'll just hang out and have a network plug in. How do we go about getting that deployed? They're absolutely not reported, they're not going to be appropriate to go on the store. And obviously, they're not part of the corporate network.
No, you can't. So there are the Windows 8, in terms of modern apps, they're completely locked down. So you can only do an enterprise side loads, or you can do the domain join side load, or you can do the store. The only exception is developers, who can obviously deploy any developer-signed app. And that's pretty much it. And would that need to be an app that they've got the root certificate installed of the app?
It has to be a trusted server. Signed with a trusted server. The mistake that most people make is they sign up with their developer cert, and then they think, oh, this is fine. I can just deploy this in my enterprise like this. No, that's not a good idea. You don't put your developer license cert. But you can, like I was saying earlier, sign it and then use PowerShell script, use SLMGR, and then IDK, and then your actual 25-digit sideloading activation key. If it's a domain join machine, it's easy enough. You don't have to worry about the sideloading activation. You can just point it directly to the PowerShell script, and they can run that and install it. Also, our domain joining machines, the installers support that now. What is the Windows? Windows installer, you can set it up, you can write your own MSI. But for RT machines, you can do a PowerShell script. That's it.
Mm. The implication of that, of course, is that if you wanted to be able to deploy machines remotely from a USB stick, using a deployment methodology, say like MDT, which is a free tool, will allow you to generate a complete standalone deployment image, which you can then stick onto a USB stick, during which you can run PowerShell scripts, you can import certs, you can do all that stuff. So you can have that entire process done nearly zero touch, or actually zero touch.
Does that answer your question? Okay, any more deployment questions? Over here.
Yes, no problem. You said it's not a good idea to find those apps with your developer key, because then you can deploy any machine.
What's the consequences of deploying your apps with your developer certificate?
It's that developers, like personal concerns that you're starting with. So, I mean, beyond that, I'm not the developer license to serve. So, I mean, beyond that, is that developer's license serve? I'm not sure beyond that, but it's not recommended for any line of business app deployment. You should sign with a trusted cert.
But if you want to get a developer license based on free, or any user, but it only lasts a month.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, is that you always have to renew it. Yeah. So the main, there's only two things you have to do for RT. Set that registry setting to allow trusted apps to install, and then to activate your side loading project. If you've done that, then you can install your line of business apps.
You can do it via Windows Intune is the easiest way to do it with the company portal like you're demonstrating, or you can do it manually with a PowerShell script.
Next question at the back. So that's a great question. So upgrades, in Windows 8, I presume it's very much similar to the store where you would have to push the upgrades out. In 8.1, do we get the automatic upgrades using SCCM the same as we do in the store?
Pretty much. That's not necessarily a feature of Windows 8 versus Windows 8.1. That is something we can do with SCCM 2012 where we have application lifecycle management. If I just quickly kick back. So let's say I had that Lewis gives me another version of the poker app. Let's say, for example, that's it. Okay, it's actually a new version. What I can do is jump in there, jump into the properties, and I can click on supersedence. So I can say that you are actually going to supersede that. And so the old deployment type is this AppX package. The new deployment type, what do you want to do with it? I want you to replace it with this one, and I want you to uninstall the old one. So when my user then... and I can actually push this out as mandatory. If I'm pushing this out to managed SCCM domain joined machines, so I can pump that out as mandatory, and then, yes, it's going to go through and upgrade it. Not so for deep linking, so you're not managing upgrades of Windows Store applications. This is for AppX. That would be a good one to test, actually. So, but upgrades are handled via the Windows Store anyway. So it bypasses the SCCM infrastructure. But with your actual AppX packages, yeah, absolutely. And for your machines, say your RT devices, which are out in the wild, they're not managed with Config Manager. But what you can do, because it's superseded, when the user logs onto the company portal, they're not going to see the old application, but they will see the new one, and they can install that. Now, that may actually mean that the old one is still present, and they may need to manually remove it. Okay, but as far as your enterprise machines, absolutely full lifecycle management.
Answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to jump onto the next topic. So if you do still have deployment questions, James will be around afterwards, so feel free to grab us and we can talk through some stuff. So security was the next sticking point for me when we were doing this app deployment scenario. So we've got rigorous security in the enterprise I'm working at. And so there's always this concern around how do you get around, like, we don't necessarily want to punch different holes in our firewalls based on different device policies. We also want to make sure the apps we're deploying can talk back to existing security systems we're using and integrate into various bits and pieces. 8.1 has actually increased the security capabilities in Windows 8 mobility and modern apps quite a lot. A great extension that has finally come out is we now have VPN APIs baked into the Windows RT API range, which means people like F5 and Juniper can start writing the clients that we see existing on Android and iPad. That means in BYOD scenarios, you'll eventually be able to install an F5 app that will connect back through into your corporate network, which is very similar to how we're doing a lot of the iPad.
I can show some of that if you want.
Okay, I'll go through this, and if we have demo time, we'll flip back to it. Work folders is another demo James hopefully can do for us as well. Work folders is a new convention. It's similar to a rights management. The best way for me to explain it is you'll end up, if you BYOD your device and you bring your device and you join it into the MDM portals, the administrators can then actually separate off your My Documents and you'll end up with My Work folders. And that will be a rights managed folder that's controlled completely by the IT pros on your device. So if you then leave your enterprise and it's removed from the device management capability, all of that information you can no longer access. So it's a good way of opening up your personal devices to work, but then not having to worry about, well, if that person then leaves the company, they're still going to have all this confidential information on their machine. So it's a completely rights managed system. We can actually then write to this as developers as well. So we can actually leverage some of this stuff and make sure if we're building apps that are targeted at BYOD style devices, we can then try and write to the work folders to store information so it retains the rights that the IT pros are actually applying for us. Selective wipe is an extension of work folders, I believe. No?
Not quite. No. Selective wipe is something that we can do. Sorry, it kind of is. There are two concepts. With work folders, when that user's access has been revoked, we can wipe what they have dropped down. It's also a lot easier with rights management in Server 2012 file services. There's also selective wipe in terms of MDM. So next version of Intune will allow us to do selective wipe. So all of those VPN and cert profiles and Wi-Fi profiles you're talking about, when a user is no longer part of that managed environment, we as the administrators can just remove them, and all of that, including some of their email, depending on the platform, will get wiped out too.
So a lot of this is an extension on what was already built in ActiveSync. So if you've ever joined your iPhone or your Windows phone to an Exchange server, even if it's a cloud-hosted one, you'll see that policies get enforced. This is an extension, then policies outside of the collaboration space. So it's now looking at document storage and the type of data that we're actually start storing on our machines in a BYOD scenario. So you'll start to see some of the same things. When you join your Surface onto your work machine under BYOD, it'll start to enforce password policies and various bits and pieces. Of course, you're being allowed and trusted to start putting confidential information on your machine. The other change in Windows 8.1 is all new Windows 8.1 devices will have a TPM chip embedded into them, which I'm not going to try and explain the mechanics of it, but it allows us to actually generate virtual smart cards. And it's the way the Microsoft guys actually now authenticate back into their VPN. We have full virtual smart card and physical smart card APIs now appear within modern applications. So if you want to start doing authentication based on smart card or read smart card data or access card data using modern apps, we have full support for that. It's a direct port of the smart card framework we had access to in .NET, and it works with all your generic NFC proximity-based stuff, the ones, the chip-based ones, and the virtual ones as well that are generated by TPM providers. We also have support for biometrics. So if you're one of the futuristic style organizations that have preempted Apple, you can authenticate into your domain joint, your apps using fingerprint scanners, retina scanners, if any actually exist on Windows. But we have full support now for biometric security in Windows apps as well. So when your security guys, your security teams, your IT pros ask about how you're going to secure your applications, we now have a whole array of different tools that allow us to do that. And we can actually get quite granular with how we're storing data, how we're going to allow, how we're going to remove the app and that data when people remove their BYO device from the organization, as well as how we can actually secure access, federated access back into our corporate infrastructure as well. Any questions around security? Otherwise, I'll hand over to James for some demos of some of this stuff. I can't see any. So, James, do you want to show us work folders?
Absolutely. Okay, so work folders is a pretty funky new feature of Windows 8.1. Actually, what I might do is, instead of showing you the back end, I might just kick over directly onto the device. So what I have, I've got a little Samsung Series 9 Slate here, just tethered at the moment, and I have joined this to my work folder infrastructure. Now, it's not domain joined, so all of this is just all things straight through. I type in my AD credentials, and then I have to accept certain policies like the remote wipe, selective wipe stuff. And think of it almost like enterprise SkyDrive. Okay, so the syncing is basically like that. So from an end user perspective, I've got a couple of options. On a non-domain joined machine like this, I just go through control panel and set that up myself. So I jump into control panel. And I've got an option down the bottom for work folders. And it's already set up. All right, password stop, password needed. Yep, that's nice. Manage credentials. Okay, syncing, and there are no changes. So all of this is being stored on a backend file server. Now what I'm going to do is just plug in the USB key with some extra content that I want to put onto this. And some stuff from TechEd Australia. Copy that into my work folder. And it's copied down. And it's now making a couple of changes to the sync. This trackpad is interesting. And then what I'm going to do, just because I can, I'm going to shut this down completely. And now I'm going to fire it up on this. So this is an iron key from iMation, which I have loaded up with a Windows 8.1 preview Windows to go image. So it's a USB hard drive. It's not a USB stick. So if I just plug that into the top and fire it up, the machine has seen this previously. So it's just going to fire that up. Ambient light sensor detects dark environment. If you want to push. Yeah. It's like, yes, I want to boot. That's why I turned you on. Jeez. All right. Yeah. Let's try that one again. And without moving it or changing anything, it boots. Okay, no problem. All right, so now it's firing up into Windows 8.1. Now, the difference with this image is that this is a fully managed domain joined version of Windows 8.1. Okay, so let's say that this is the environment that I want to give to a contractor. They've brought in their own slate. That's nice, that's fine. But now I want them to access something that I control. So this is on the domain, it gets group policy, it's got an SCCM agent, antivirus, all that nice stuff. And now if I kick over onto the desktop, and I've got a work folders icon there. This one has actually been targeted by group policy. So as a user, I haven't had to go in and into the control panel or anything. And I'll go into there, and my TechEd AU stuff is already there. It's already synced down. So it's pretty quick. It's very, very fast, and look, absolutely seamless to use. If I kick back across to the back end, So this is a Server 2012 R2 preview file server. And enabling work folders is just an add role or feature. And what it does, it installs IIS hostable web core onto the file server. It will conflict with IIS if that is already installed and also running on port 443. So all this is done on port 443. And setting it up is incredibly easy. I just jump in, I want a new sync share. I tell it exactly where I want it to be. It's just a stock standard SMB share. Maybe I want to take advantage of the new stuff within Server 2012 and I want to put it on a scale-out file server, something along those lines. I'll nominate who I want to have access, and those people, so here I've done an access group which is based in AD. It then jumps out and enumerates who those people are and then shows you exactly what they're doing. Let's say Peter here, I don't want him to access it anymore. I can say I want to block him. So he actually can't sync files anymore via work folders. The other advantage of this is that if I then spin up another sync share using a different access group, that means I can give different people different levels of access to sync. Really easy to do, and works like a charm.
So after that demo, do we have integration security questions? If not, I'll move into integrations down here.
Can you block by a device?
Can you block by device? No, it's by user. If you want to block by device, if it's a domain join managed one, you could use GPO to revoke work folders. If it's not, and the user has access to work folders, then they can sync. But the files stored within work folders are encrypted. They must be as part of the policy. And if the user's blocked, I think it also wipes it.
Any more questions? Sorry, down here. What's the USB spec for Windows to go?
Is the USB spec on Windows to go? It's very exacting. There are a list of approved vendors on TechNet. So check those out. A number of manufacturers do actually produce them. They're not USB sticks. They are generally hard drives. The iMation one I quite like because they've got videos on it. It's shockproof, it's waterproof. You drive it over in your car, and it still works. It still boots. Andrew McMurray was showing it yesterday. He almost dropped it in the water first, but didn't. But he did jump up and down on it, and then fired it up. So it's pretty impressive. We like them also because SCCM will actually work out that the agent that is talking back is actually installed on a Windows to go stick, so we can manage them independently. And the Iron Key ones are actually having the next version of them. We can actually manage them via CCM, via ActiveSync. So we get really, really good, rich management. The one thing I would say is that they are USB 3. You can do them over USB 2, but oh boy, it would not be good.
Okay, so I just want to touch on the last point of the session, and then we'll just open it up if we have time for general questions as well. So we've got devices, and we know how to get our app onto the device. We know how to persuade our security teams that the apps that we're going to write are relatively secure. The issue is, the last issue, and the biggest issue for us, was how do we actually make a modern app talk back to the application that we're wanting to start talking back to? Once we've got some of the security bits in place, it makes it a little bit easier. We can now have VPN support, which means we're essentially our device is now back on the network. We can start making standard HTTP calls to web services and things like that. The additional hardware support that I talked about earlier has made this a lot easier for a lot of organizations as well. We can now mobilize the workforce a bit more by giving them barcode scanners or other enterprise peripheral support in these modern applications, which means they can do a lot more outside of the office that previously they had to go to a desk and attach devices to a desktop before. We actually have a new server role that's appeared in Windows 8.1 and Server 2012 R2 called Web Application Proxy. And I never changed the content on my slides, which is a bit strange. So Web Application Proxy is a way of using federated identity through BYOD devices to start talking back to services. So if you want to start talking back to your SharePoint instance or your line of business apps and things like that, you can actually work with your IT pros using something called Web Application Proxy ADFS to start federating the credentials out in a similar way that you saw in the workplace folders and workplace join and all these other new services. But it allows the proxy service to then start start tunneling you back into the corporate network via a BYOD device. So it's a very impressive API, but it's very unique in that BYOD scenario. Oh, there's the correct slide for it. The last piece as well, which has been one of the saving graces for us, is the features that we've seen this year. The BizTalk bits and pieces and the mobile services bits and pieces is actually what allowed us to do a lot of this stuff very, very quickly. BizTalk for us, we have our own internal ESB and all of our infrastructure talks to it. But the ability to now aggregate a lot of them services up until a layer that's completely external from the organization and not necessarily having to punch unique holes into our firewall or get the devices directly connected back via a VPN, but securely pushing stuff to the cloud and then being able to convert that into small data payloads that the services that the apps we're building can actually consume was one of the easiest ways for us to do that. The BizTalk services actually makes it very affordable as well because it's the standard utility billing that all of Azure users, it saves me having to go and buy a $40,000 BizTalk license per machine and try and build this infrastructure and then stick it onto a big fat pipe that all my devices can talk to. I literally pay, I can't even remember how the cycles work now, but I'm paying per quarter and we can manage that based on the project costs and then we can actually offload that to other departments that are then starting to use the apps that we're deploying. So they're the three main integration points that that we actually started leveraging when we started to build our app. Again, open up to questions. Does anyone foresee issues when they're building these apps around actually connecting back to devices that you want to talk through? We've got our Azure guys, we've got our PFE, I've got me that's kind of just spitballing some ideas as well. So a good time to start asking these questions. Yeah. It's a good question for those of you who didn't hear it. How do you convert the people that control the purse strings across the Windows infrastructure? One of the benefits that we do have is we have a very Microsoft Pro CIO that helped a lot. A lot of the time, like the iPad has a lot of limitations in the enterprise. A lot of the information they want to access on when they're out and about, when they're in meetings and things like that, it requires a heavy investment in building custom apps or it just physically isn't possible. So if you've got an exec that wants to access their board papers via their iPads and their board papers are stored on SharePoint, you're going to either have to buy some expensive infrastructure or a custom-built app or build your own app that talks back to SharePoint services via firewalls and things like that. Whereas I can now present to an exec, hey, here's a mobile device that's already on a roaming Wi-Fi network. It's completely secure. You can walk around this whole building and talk back to all of our services. And SharePoint works, and it syncs all your information. And look, you've got full Outlook access as well, and you can just easily switch backwards and forwards. And a lot for the execs as well, because it's all around being able to access information quickly. That was beneficial to them. They had their full email. They had their full collaboration suite. They had link. They had everything in front of them they needed to do, but they could walk around the office and still have that same iPad form factor to them. That was obviously on the domain join devices. The BYOD thing is a different sell, but certainly that's how I've done it. I don't know whether anyone else can comment on selling to execs. No? Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Anyone else? Any general questions, not about integration or anything like that? Yes.
Yeah,
that kiosk mode.
Yeah, what is it?
Anyone about kiosk mode?
Do you want me to show it?
It's a mode assigned to a user account. So I think James is just trying to fire up a demo at the moment. It's a feature that exists in iOS as well, and a lot of iPads use it. And it actually originated from when you went into the stores were running in a retail mode that just played a continuous loop, and that's where it all derives from, the ability for stores to lock down the ecosystem. So James has just got it fired up now. So as in a Windows embedded kiosk or an assigned access?
Yeah, sorry?
How would you go about deploying an assigned access?
How would you deploy assigned access? That is really good. I'd need to look through the GPOs to see what you could do to see exactly how it works under the hood. Certainly, based on this, so this is it's me logged in as administrator, so a standard user does not have the rights in order to do this, but I've got an existing user account on the machine, and if I then assign that user account, I can then basically say to have access only to one Windows Store app, so I can lock that right down into kiosk mode. Your other option, if you have a Zen app investment, is that there's a similar option for Zenapp handlers where it is a kiosk mode. It just fires up one application and the user can't access any other applications. And we can also manage that with Config Manager as well because Citrix have actually done Zenapp connectors for your Zenapp farm so that from an SCCM perspective, the Zenapp farm essentially just becomes a middle tier to pump out those applications.
This isn't also, just a note, this isn't a replacement for embedded. Embedded still has its place in kiosks. There's no way of restricting the gesture. There's people can still try and push the home button and things like that. You're not locking it down. You're just restricting that account to only have access to one app. So it's not a foolproof scenario, and I'm sure people will figure their way around it when they go into stores and start playing around with stuff in much the same way as they can do on iOS. So if you're building kiosks, I would strongly recommend looking at embedded, because embedded has everything we have in 8.1, but it allows you to be very granular, and you can lock out gestures, you can lock out the buttons, you can restrict the kernel right down as well. Any other questions before we send you off to either another session or to get changed for the party tonight? No? Okay, guys, thank you for listening to me babble on for an hour, and I hope you enjoy it this evening.
Can I interrupt? Intune is working again. Does anyone want to see that application, that poker app side loading? Or do you trust me? Yeah, you do? All right, we'll quickly do this. I just thought I'd check before we wrap it up. Is Intune back online? Yes, it is. Okie dokie. And now there's AV issues. Give me a second. Hang on. Let me just try it one more time. All right, cool. So what I've got, I fired up my company portal application, and it's saying, yep, no problem. Can you please log into Windows Intune? So if I just type in, if I just type in my corporate credentials. Now, when I hit tab, it's not actually going to auth me against Windows Intune. It understands that particular user account, and it checks instantly is actually a synced on-premise user, so it's redirected me to ADFS. So I'm going to auth directly against ADFS. These touch keyboards are interesting.
They're not typing.
Oh, man. They're very interesting. Here we go. All right, so that's now authing me against ADFS and redirects me back into Intune. And what I'm going to be able to see are which applications have been allocated to me. It's authenticating me. Let's go. It's also going to show me which devices I've already enrolled. So as you can see there, there's my Surface RT. It's also got my Windows Phone and an iPad. And I can initiate a remote wipe of any of those from this portal as well. I've got a Citrix receiver application that is a deep link to the Windows Store, but the one I'm interested in is the Poker app. So I fired that up, and I'll say go reinstall. And that should have dropped that down. It's pending because sometimes the Windows Store reset is my friend. Go back in. Come on. All right, let me show you the deep link, because that definitely works. All right. And there's the receiver, view in Windows Store, and it fires up. All right, so what's going on with the cache? That is rather frustrating. Move that back. Come on. Install, there we go. All right, so it's flushed the cache, finally. And it's going to drop that application down. Now, it's already grabbed a sideloading key. It's already done. It's gone through and installed it. Should have dropped it down. All right. For whatever reason, it's pending again. It's there. And there's Poker. Yay. All right. Awesome application. Thank you very much. It was definitely worth all that management. All right. I just wanted to show you that. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for that, James. It kind of, yeah. No,